Welcome to The Positioning Show, where we discuss topics related to the practical application of positioning for marketing, sales, and product teams. I'm April Dunford, a consultant, author, and the world's leading expert on positioning for B2B technology companies. Hey, everybody. You know what? Today, what I really want to talk about is market category. I find that a lot of folks, when they're working on positioning, they're really obsessed with market category. Like, there's this idea that there's nothing more important in positioning than your market category. So because they're thinking like that, often people want to just jump straight to market category without talking about anything else. And a lot of the teams that I've worked with just assume that we are going to start with market category and then back into the rest of the positioning from there. I don't actually think that's the best way to do it. And that's what I wanted to talk about on this podcast episode today. So here we go. So there's a lot of ways we can think about market category. I like to think of market category as context setting for a product or a company. Context is important because that's how we make sense of things, particularly things we have never encountered before. I do a lot of comparing it to other things. One of the things I like to compare it to is the opening scene of a movie. I've talked a lot about the opening scene of Apocalypse Now, and I wrote a blog post recently where I talked about the opening scene of Baby Driver, and I deconstructed that from a positioning standpoint. But think about it this way. The start of the movie comes up, and the job of the opening scene is to get you oriented into the movie. Like, the movie's starting and we don't know much. You know, we don't know where are we, what time frame is this, who are these people, what's going on, what's the mood of this movie, how should I be feeling? If you watch American movies, and now that I've pointed this out to you, you'll see it every single time, but the vast majority of American movies start with a panning shot of the city skyline. So we're sitting in the movie theater, we're like, where are we, what's going on? And we're like, oh, Golden Gate Bridge, I know where we are. Oh, Empire State Building, I know where we are. And that's because the story that takes place in San Francisco is very different from the story that takes place in New York. Those two cities have a really different mood. And if you're American or you know a lot about American culture, you get a vibe from this. Like, oh, we're in Miami. Oh, that's really different from the story that's taken place in Chicago. So I like to think about positioning kind of the same way. It's context setting. It's helping us get oriented. It's important to think about this. So if market category, if we think about it like the context, what it means is it's the starting point for a conversation with the customer about what we're all about. Like if I say, for example, hey, I've got this product. It's a revolutionary, fantastic new CRM, customer relationship management software. You'll make a lot of assumptions about that. You'll assume that my competition is Salesforce because they're the leader in that space. You'll assume that there's certain functionality there. Like you'd be able to track a deal. You'd be able to look at a pipeline. These are basic CRM things. If you say you're a CRM, then I assume you have all that stuff. If I said I was something different, you would have different assumptions, even though often market categories are quite overlapping in terms of capabilities. Like, what's really the difference between chat and email? They're not that different. There's a lot of overlapping things, but you know, I would expect email to have a spam filter and chat doesn't. I would expect to maybe pay a little money for email. Chat's generally free. So there are some differences, but that's really all the market category is doing. In Reason Trout's book, Positioning the Battle for Your Mind, they talk about market category as being the space that the product or the company occupies in the customer's mind. And that's an interesting way to think about it. It's a lot like context setting. But it isn't everything. Like, it isn't a replacement for your sales pitch, for example. It isn't a replacement for your messaging. We don't just say, hey, my company, you know, we sell a CRM and that's it. We don't say anything else. We still have to take the customer on the journey to understanding what we're all about. So at best, a market category is a starting point. So a good market category kind of points the customer at what we're all about. And importantly, it doesn't point them somewhere else where they make assumptions about our product that are not true. And then marketing and sales have to say, oh, no, 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 we're not that. No, 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 we don't do that. No, 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 over here, back here. Well, we're all about this. So then it begs the question, well, what exactly are we pointing them at? So what's important here? And don't I need to understand that before I can figure out what my best market category is? I would argue that's true. Now, I had somebody recently say to me that, well, you know, we shouldn't actually start with market category. We should start with the problem. So what's the problem that the company or the product solves? And then we would somehow back into the category around that. So I don't think that what the market category is doing is necessarily pointing at us the problem, but I do think that categories do kind of encompass a set of problems that they solve, maybe not just one. I like to think about it this way. If we're thinking about positioning, what is the goal of our positioning? The goal of our positioning is not to answer the question, why should the prospect buy us? Meaning, you know, what is the problem that we solve? The goal of positioning is to answer the question, why pick us over the other guys? When I think about positioning, what I like to think about as the most important piece, therefore, is differentiated value. That's the value that we can deliver that no one else can. It actually goes beyond just solving the problem. Generally, we're solving the problem in a very particular way. Ideally, we're solving the problem in a different way. And because we're solving it in a different way, we can deliver different value that the other solutions to the problem can't. So it really isn't the problem that's unique or the problem that we're trying to communicate about. What we're actually trying to communicate about is our differentiated value. What can we do for your business that no one else can? So in my mind, a good market category, the job of that market category is to help people understand our differentiated value. The market category should be the first step towards that. So it should point people at our differentiated value and, importantly, not point them somewhere else. So that makes it easier for us to build a story and make the case for why you should solve the problem in our way, which in turn is our point of view on solving that problem. So in my mind, we can't really decide whether a particular market category is good or bad or better or worse until we really deeply understand what our differentiated value is. So when I'm working with clients, the way I like to think about this is, first of all, you know, the customer has a problem for sure. But often they're solving that problem today. They're just not solving it all that well. But then something happens and the customer wakes up and says, you know what? I got to do something about this. I got to figure out how to solve this problem. And they don't generally just buy the first thing they come across. They'll go out on the internet and they'll research things. We know this about B2B buyers in particular. They'll go research things and they'll make a short list. So how do they figure out which one they should pick? Well, the thing they're trying to figure out is, why should I pick you over the other guys? And that really doesn't have that much to do with the problem. In general, they've made a short list and all the things on the short list solve the problem. But the winner is going to solve the problem better. How do we define solving the problem better? Well, the winner is going to enable or deliver some value that the other ones can't. So the way I like to think about positioning is, you know, first of all, there's more components to it than just simply the market category. We have to consider, what do we have to position against? That means our direct competitors, but also whatever the status quo is. That might be manual processes. That might be hiring an intern. So I've got alternative ways of solving the problem. That's my first component that I have to think about. The second I have to think about is the realities of the product that I have right now. So what do I have that the other folks don't? And then I need to deeply, deeply understand my differentiated value. What is the value that we can deliver that no one else can? That is literally the answer to the question of why pick us. Then I need to understand, well, who really cares a lot about that differentiated value? That's my definition of a best fit customer. And only then, when I understand this is the value, these are the customers I'm trying to communicate that to, can I really assess whether a particular market category does the job or not? So a good market category, again, will be a great starting point for those best fit customers to understand the value that only I can deliver. And now my messaging and my sales pitch can take them the rest of the way. A bad market category does not do that job. It points them somewhere else. And your marketing and sales will have to say, no, 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 we're not that. We're something else. So starting with a market category doesn't make sense to me. And I don't think we can even assess the goodness or badness of a market category without first understanding the differentiated value. The last thing is that I'm not against the idea of creating a new category. Often we have no choice but to create a new category. But I do think that it's much easier and much more common for successful startups to position in an underserved subsegment of an existing market category. It's a lot easier to say, I'm CRM for investment banks than it is to say, I'm a flu flummer. If I say I'm CRM for investment banks, I'm leveraging everything you already know and understand about investment banks. If I say, well, I'm a flu flummer, well, now I got to go back to the drawing board. I got to convince you that there is a need for something that's a flu flummer. What exactly does that mean? Because I haven't anchored you on anything you really understand yet. And now I'm going to have to take you on this journey. And then only when I can, when I've educated you on what a flu flummer is, can I then make the case that I'm the best flu flummer in the land that you should consider. So I think it's always easier, particularly for a new company, a startup, to position in an existing market category in an underserved segment. So commonly, if we look at successful companies and we look at the early days of successful companies, there aren't actually all that many examples of companies that right out of the gate designed a market category from scratch and then positioned there. The vast majority of companies that people talk about as category creators were category creators later in life. In fact, if you look at Salesforce is a great example. I mean, after they were completely dominating the CRM space and had managed to knock off the category leader, then they started expanding the borders of the category and what they actually do. That's actually quite a common playbook for category leaders. Once you've absolutely established the category, dominated the category, you can then push the boundaries of the category to increase the addressable market that you're going to go after. And we've seen that again and again with lots of different companies. So again, I don't think that, I think that there's a lot of confusion about market category in and what it can and cannot do. So for me, I like to start with, you know, what do we have to position against? What are the other alternative ways of solving the problem that a customer might use? What have we got that's different? And what is the value that we can deliver that no one else can? And let's get really tight on who are the kinds of customers that care a lot about that value? Only when we have that can we then make an assessment. Like, is there an existing market category that serves as a good starting point for those kind of customers to understand our value? If there are not any good existing market categories, then we are in a situation where the category is actually emerging and we, you know, we're going to be out front kind of defining what that is, but we have to accept the fact that that is going to be a long, difficult road to travel, not impossible. There are examples of companies that have done it. It's just very few examples of companies that have done it. So if we're going to do it, we have to admit this is difficult. It's going to take a while. We probably need a decent amount of outside funding to do it, but we have no other choice. So we have to embark on that path. The last point I want to make about positioning and people getting really stressed out about market category is that in the companies I work with, I feel like people really overthink their market category. And I think they overthink it because they think it's everything. They think, I think in their minds, they think we're just going to write the market category on the homepage and that's going to be it. And so, oh my gosh, we better get it right because if we don't, everything's a disaster. In my experience, however, and that comes with working with a lot of companies, the companies would be better served to actually really, really obsess about differentiated value. I think a lot of companies are still selling on feature function And I don't think just slapping a category over top of a bunch of feature function is necessarily going to help customers understand why they should pick you versus everyone else. Because, I mean, let's face it, even if you do a decent job of defining a new category and positioning yourself in there, it doesn't mean you suddenly don't have any competitors. That's actually not the way it works. In a big B2B purchase decision, they're still going to look at alternatives, even if you say you're in this category and the other folks say they're in another category. I've never done a software deal over a certain size where there isn't competition, even though we claim we're creating a new category and we're nothing like the other folks. They're still going to have other folks on the list. We're still going to have to explain why pick us over the other guys. And the answer to that question isn't, well, pick us because we're doing this different thing. I mean, it's why do we care about that different thing, which is what? Which is your differentiated value. So I think we need to get really, really tight on that. I think most companies, again, are thinking too much about features, not enough about the value that those features deliver. And then again, in my mind, the job of the market category is to just contextualize that value, or put another way, help customers really, really deeply understand why that value matters for their business. I think if you can nail that, you can sell a lot of deals. Like, your differentiated value is literally the answer to the question, why pick us over the other guys? So that is the thing we really, really need to nail. What I've seen with some companies that are really obsessed with market category, there's a feeling that the value is embedded in the category definition. That may be true in some cases. I'm not sure. But I think often it is not true. I mean, often we have to get deep into our actual value props. We have more than just one value prop. Simply stating the market category or even describing the market category doesn't necessarily help a customer understand, well, what's the value you can deliver for my business versus the other folks? This is the place where I think we need to get really obsessed, go really deep. If we understand that, then I think the category that we're going to put around that becomes kind of obvious. And then hopefully it becomes obvious to customers, you know, we're this. And the reason you care is because we can deliver this thing that nobody else can. Anyways, that's all I got for you this week. Hey, a couple of things before you go. I have a newsletter. You should be reading it. Occasionally I write smart things in it. I aim to go every second week, but I have to say sometimes I get busy and it's not always every second week, but you should sign up for that. I'll drop a link in the show notes for this one. And then also what I'll include in there is I've been a guest on a handful of really interesting podcasts lately. So if you want to see me, not just on this podcast, but talking to other people, I'll put some links in there too, so you can go and see that. I think you might enjoy that as well. Anyways, that's it for this week. I've got some really interesting guests coming up in the next few episodes, so I hope you folks are going to enjoy that. Have a great week. I'll see you next time.